The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the first chapter. Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondered at his delay in the sanctuary. When he did come out, he could not speak to them, and they realized that he had seen a vision in the sanctuary. He kept motioning to them and remained unable to speak. When his time of service was ended, he went to his home. After those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and for 5 months she remained in seclusion. She said, "This is what the Lord has done for me when he looked favorably on me and took away the disgrace I have endured among my people." In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Christ.
You may be. I want to share a little bit of an article I read this week that was posted to onbeing.org. That's a website where people from all different faith and spiritual backgrounds kind of share reflections. And this one happened to be from a Lutheran on Advent, the daughter of a Lutheran pastor, and she described Christmas as the extrovert of the church calendar, especially in her experience. My kids got a real kick out of this one. You know, that Christmas Eve was all about the celebration and the excitement and the craziness and service after service and lighting candle after candle. And she wrote this not as she doesn't have any resentment about her childhood of being a pastor's kid. So that was helpful too for my kids, but on Christmas. But she did then turn towards saying how Advent is the introvert then of the church calendar, or one of the introverts, because Advent is this expectant time. You know, it's grounded in waiting, and it's okay with the waiting and with the preparation. It's okay with just letting time be and continue to go with that foot, one foot in front of another kind of pace that sometimes we follow in our lives. Advent is patient, and it asks us to be patient and to practice that patience, whether we're sitting in joy or worry or sorrow or concern, that we sit there with patience. Advent's okay with the times in between. And it doesn't ask us to have all the answers, and it's very okay with all of the questions that come in these seasons of our lives. Which is why this story of Elizabeth and Mary's time together and Elizabeth's time apart is a beautiful story to tell at Advent. And I think it's actually one of the only times in the year that we hear this story in worship. Elizabeth has come into a time of seclusion and silence kind of by surprise. An angel announced that she would have a baby, and suddenly her daily routines and activity and the way that she lived as a wife of a priest have totally changed into a time of waiting and preparing and being separated from him, and he has to be quiet, so maybe this is just all for the best anyway, that we're separated for a while, waiting for the promise of this child. And we don't get to hear in Scripture what this time was like for her. We don't know her thoughts or her feelings. We don't know her prayers. Were they just intense prayers for the health and safety for her baby? Were they hopeful prayers of how her life and her status would change after he was born? Or was this time spent just trying to keep busy, doing all the things that she would need to do to prepare for a baby and for a different life? These thoughts and feelings remain between Elizabeth and God. And maybe that's just as well. Because right there in that space that Scripture leaves, that hole that we don't get to hear about, it opens up this space for us, gives us permission to know that we can have those times and that kind of relationship where it is just us and God, that space is there for us as well. Times of seclusion or just silence, no matter how brief those moments of silence are, can be times that open us up to hear ourselves, listen more deeply. They can be times that are maybe even a little bit uncomfortable, or times that we think things that we wouldn't dare say out loud to anyone else, or maybe not even out loud to ourselves. But those times open up this same kind of space. And some of us, maybe the extroverts of us, do a lot to, you know, get out of having that time, keeping ourselves busy and our bodies moving. Or some of us crave that kind of time, but still the demands of family or work or school or the needs of the community might get in the way. And perhaps some feel like they've never even experienced that kind of silence from their environment or within themselves. But when it does happen, it can be joyful and it can be very unsettling. It can be uncomfortable and it can also be inspirational. And if we can just let that time and that silence and that space be, then we are open to the surprises that God may have in store for us and the surprise that God is willing to show up over and over, again and again, in the ugly thoughts and experiences of our lives and in the most beautiful and joyful ones. And this is the great surprise of God that Elizabeth encounters when Mary shows up at her door and she's actually pulled out of that silence and out of that seclusion as she greets Mary and has this time with Mary. Just try to imagine that scene for just a moment. It's a rare scene that we get in Scripture, but this young woman and this woman in her old age, both carrying a baby, both carrying babies promised to them, embracing and knowing in that moment that not only are their stories connected and intertwined through their sons, Jesus and John, forever, but also that in that moment, that's where God is dwelling, right there, in the life in their wombs, in the space that they fill between them. And that is a totally different and surprising picture of God. For them and their culture, God was far away. God was only behind the curtain or back in the holiest places of the sanctuary. That's why Zechariah was silenced, because he was there where no one else could see or hear what was going on between him and God. And I don't think that's so different from today. We also, in our popular culture, have convinced ourselves that God is far away. It's what prosperity gospel preachers try to tell us, that if you just do the right things and God sees you doing it, everything will be okay. Or the doomsday and apocalyptic religions that tell us that God's just sitting there watching and waiting to see what kind of punishment might come down. Everything about this story tells us that that's not true. That God was present in that time and place with Mary and Elizabeth, and God continues to enter and be present in this time and place in human history, in your life, and in my life. This is the story of the Holy Spirit dwelling within Mary, yes, within Elizabeth, who's the first to recognize Jesus, the first to say that Jesus is from God, within Zechariah, within history, within you, and within me. The author of this article that I mentioned before, Siri May Rome, she went on to describe her youngest daughter's experience with Advent light. And so she describes her youngest daughter as the loudest, most energetic, most kinetic person in their family. And they lit the Advent candles, and this little girl sat mesmerized by the glow of that light for a good amount of time. And she said, "Mom, the light is reaching. It's reaching for me." The light here in Stella's moment of silence and in moment of connection is the God that Advent promises, is the God that sits right there in the waiting time as well. So the question today is more about how will we create that space in our days and in our week? We try to do that in worship by creating times of silence, by having the Advent candles lit each week, by encouraging you to light those candles in your own home, even if you don't have a wreath, just lighting a candle and taking a moment with that light. Maybe it means turning the radio off in your car for just a few minutes and just letting that silence be there. Or maybe it means taking the earbuds out. Or, don't worry, teenagers here, you can leave them in, but maybe turn the music off for just a few moments. Maybe it is taking time to read a devotional, any devotional. We have some here for you. We have the inserts in the bulletin. They're all over the place online. Reading a piece of scripture and just sitting with it, even for just a minute. Or walking outside and braving that cold and going ahead and looking at those winter stars that are amazing and different this time of year. This light is reaching for us. And this light is an invitation to know God as dwelling in the world and as dwelling in you and your relationships and your spaces and your time. So of all the invitations that you will receive in this month, know that this one is one to ground you and promise you the hope and love and joy and peace of Christ in this season and beyond. Amen.